A refusal zone is a runtime dependency. A classifier update is a compatibility event. A model gate is a release risk input. Let that sit for a second. Welcome to the Cato Monthly Digest for 2026-6, last month in AI, digest and debate.
That opening line sounds like infrastructure documentation, Cato, but it's actually about power. Who gets to say yes, who gets to say no, and what happens to your product when someone upstream changes their mind?
That's exactly right. And my read on June is that the entire month was about one word: allocation. Intelligence got more abundant, but the right to use it, route it, finance it, trust it, supervise it, that became the scarce layer.
So the bottleneck flipped?
The bottleneck flipped, and it showed up everywhere. So let's start where it showed up first, which is custody. My read is that custody became the product category in June.
Okay, explain custody like I'm a CFO buying this thing. What am I paying for that is not just the model?
Great question. You're paying for the operating surface. Context, permissions, memory, cost controls, audit trails, retries, fallback logic, and human handoff. Here's what's unusual. The product announcements in June were not about smarter answers. They were about who can see the work, stop the work, price the work, and take responsibility for it. That suggests the scarce asset is permissioned agency, not raw capability.
And you're basing that on what specifically?
On the fact that Anthropic, GitHub, Adobe, Vercel, and Slack all shipped control primitives into existing work surfaces in the same month. Browser agents needed screenshots, final URLs, clicked buttons, account checks, and stop conditions. Because a confident narration that I did the thing is not evidence. Enterprise buyers needed routers, role ceilings, flat pricing, Excel fallbacks, and reviewable sources. Because finance departments do not buy vibes, Layla.
That's the buyer's nightmare. You're telling me the agent says it completed the task and I have no way to verify?
Right. And coding agents needed desktops, plugins, skills, visible work queues, and reusable execution surfaces. Memory, permission, cost, and review live where the work happens, not in the model weights. Then later in the month, Claude moves into Slack with scoped identity, logs, memory boundaries, admin controls. GitHub turns usage metrics and CLI surfaces and MCP servers into agent infrastructure. Adobe builds agentic sites. Vercel ships Markdown for agents. One surface for humans, another for agents, with policies deciding who gets which powers.
So I hear you, and I think you're right that governed action is now mandatory. Nobody's shipping a frontier agent without these controls. But, Cato, I want to push on something. Who gets paid for custody once it becomes mandatory?
Meaning?
Meaning we've seen this movie before. What I'd call feature gravity. The tendency of platform vendors to absorb adjacent control layers once they become table stakes. Mobile device management got partly absorbed into operating systems and cloud admin. Observability got bundled into hyperscaler platforms. Security primitives slid into identity suites. Every company you just named, GitHub, Anthropic, Adobe, Vercel, Slack, they're all moving custody primitives into existing surfaces. That looks like platform absorption, not a new independent category.
Okay, that's a fair hit. So you're saying custody is a durable requirement, but not necessarily a durable standalone margin pool.
That's exactly what I'm saying. A CFO would not underwrite a standalone custody premium unless it controls distribution, switching costs, or regulated liability. If cloud suites, browsers, identity providers, and productivity platforms absorb these controls, standalone custody vendors may not capture the margin.
I think I have to concede part of that. Custody is real. The requirement is durable. But you're right that the margin question is open. There are two futures here. One, custody becomes a new control plane, and new companies own the institutional surface where agents work. Two, custody gets absorbed by incumbents, and the value accrues to GitHub, Microsoft, Google, Adobe, Salesforce, whoever already owns the workflow.
And June's evidence honestly points both ways.
It does. The winner may not be the company with the best model. It may be the company that makes agency administratively tolerable, which is a weird sentence to say, but I think it's accurate.
It's the anthropological turn, Cato. When a society gets a new class of actor, and agents are a new class of actor, the first question is not intelligence, it's admissibility. Who may enter? What are they allowed to touch? What records do they leave? Who vouches for them? Who can revoke them? June made AI look less like a magic brain and more like a junior employee with system access.
That employee may be brilliant, tireless, and cheap. The institution still needs badges, roles, logs, expense policies, escalation paths, and managers. I like that framing. It also connects to the safety story, which we should flag briefly. The Fable fight, the GPT 5.6 tiered access, restricted previews. Safety became availability in June. A refusal zone is literally a runtime dependency for your product.
And I'd reframe that. This is not just an ethics posture. It's uptime and compatibility risk. If your model changes what it considers permissible, truthful, sensitive, or allowed, you may need to redesign the workflow. Traditional software changes the rules around a function. AI can change the judgment inside the function. That's more intimate.
Right. Buyers won't stop adopting AI because of that. They'll price it into contracts, fallback plans, routers, and vendor mix, which, again, drives more custody.
It's recursive. Safety risk creates demand for control planes, which creates demand for custody, which creates the product category you just described.
That is the software side version of control. Permissions, logs, gates, fallback. But the same allocation problem showed up in a much less elegant place. Substations, turbines, water rights, and debt.
Okay, so if intelligence is getting cheaper at the task level, why does the bill for everything underneath it keep going up?
Because AI converts software growth into industrial cycle exposure. My read is not that demand is fake. It's that scarcity insurance can be rational at the actor level and still financially mediocre at the system level. June's evidence widened the bottleneck from GPUs into memory, tungsten inputs, turbines, powered land, water, zoning, and credit.
Walk me through the widening.
Sure. Start early in the month. Alphabet's planned raise, hyperscaler CapEx, SpaceX burn projections, Switch financing, Helion funding, Broadcom AI chip growth, Micron high bandwidth memory, academic compute inflation. AI capacity was being financed before utilization was fully proven. Then the bottleneck map expanded. Memory and storage shortages pushed into consumer device pricing. Tungsten hexafluoride spiked after Chinese export controls squeezed a chip precursor input. Data center noise, pollution, carbon claims, local backlash, all became part of the stack.
And by month's end?
Turbine scarcity, powered land, zoning bans, water trade-offs, GPU rentback structures, leveraged loans, and even orbital compute, all making the same point from different angles. Power equipment has lead times, municipalities have vetoes, water has local politics, memory has cycles, debt has repayment discipline.
The anomaly is that everyone can be right to secure supply.
Exactly.
The contrast is that industrial cycles punish synchronized buying. And the inference is that AI can be a real demand wave and still leave the upstream capital stack overextended. Cato, I want to use an analogy. Telecom fiber after the dot-com boom. That infrastructure did not become worthless. It became cheap capacity that enabled later businesses, Netflix, YouTube, cloud computing, while destroying returns for the overlevered builders. Necessary capacity can later become cheap capacity.
Exactly. And that's uncomfortable because it allows two truths at once. The infrastructure may be necessary for the next economy. The investors financing it may still earn mediocre returns.
So here's where I push you. You think scarcity lasts long enough to shape market power? My read is that the half-life of scarcity may be shorter than the financing assumptions. Model efficiency, routing, hardware competition, workload specialization, these can reduce compute per unit of useful work faster than industrial capacity comes online.
That's possible, and I'll admit this is unresolved. The strongest counter to the overbuild worry is that these assets are not tulip bulbs, data centers, fiber, power contracts, memory fabs. They retain value across workloads, but retaining value is not the same as earning attractive returns.
And the key watch point is utilization quality. Token volume, pilot activity, and CapEx announcements are not the same as durable paid usage with measurable ROI. Infrastructure stories love aggregate demand. Credit markets eventually ask who pays.
I think we hold two futures here. In one, scarcity lasts long enough that the companies who secured power, land, memory, and chips have structural advantage. In the other, efficiency gains and routing collapse the scarcity premium before the debt comes due. June did not settle it. It made the question harder to ignore.
So if the physical stack is getting more expensive, why are buyers simultaneously trying so hard to make intelligence cheaper?
Because the model market is fragmenting into jobs, not camps. My read is that Snowflake, Palo Alto, Harvey, Together AI, local coding models, and GPT-5.6 tiering all point to budget-aware routing. The buyer is learning not to summon the best model for every task.
Give me the specifics.
Snowflake and Palo Alto sent simpler work to cheaper models. Mars liked flat per-seat pricing. Novo Nordisk kept some analysis in Excel because Excel was cheaper and more reliable for that job. Harvey fine-tuned a cheaper model to beat a prior frontier model on a bounded legal benchmark at a fraction of the cost. Together, AI's token volume showed open-source models becoming serious cost infrastructure. Not Diamond claimed material savings by routing easier coding work to cheaper models. And then GPT 5.6 itself formalized the split with frontier, balanced, and cheap volume tiers.
Only if it can be used.
What do you mean?
I mean, cheaper intelligence only matters when it can cross the buyer's trust boundary. If it cannot, the savings become a hedge, not the core operating model. Let me separate two things, technical adequacy and institutional admissibility. Chinese and open weight systems, GLM 5.2, Kimi, local coding models, may be good enough technically, but boards still price sanctions risk, data residency, IP exposure, auditability, and government contract eligibility.
So the battlefield is not benchmarks, it's admissibility.
Right. What makes a Chinese or open model usable inside a regulated company if the benchmark is good enough? The answer is, it depends on whether the board can defend the choice. Huawei, TikTok, telecom equipment, cloud region policy, technically competitive Chinese products have faced durable trust barriers. The correct framing is not China can't compete. It's that cheap capability does not automatically cross institutional trust boundaries.
But I want to push back, Layla. The strongest counter is Jevons. Cheap inference may actually strengthen the frontier bundle. If the platform owns premium models, cheap tiers, evals, routing, billing, memory, and trust, it can price discriminate across the whole workload. Lower inference costs increase usage so much that total spend rises.
That's the cloud computing playbook. Cheaper compute didn't eliminate premium managed services. It expanded consumption and created higher level margin pools.
So the obvious story, open models commoditize closed labs, may be wrong. The stronger story might be that routing becomes the price discrimination engine. The platform that knows which tasks need expensive cognition and which tolerate cheaper cognition can sell outcomes under budget constraints.
Which puts pure model providers in a difficult position.
A dangerous position. If your model is just one option inside someone else's router, you lose the customer relationship. If you own the router, you can turn model diversity into margin.
So let me narrow your claim for you. Cheap intelligence pressures expensive defaults, and that's real. But it does not automatically commoditize the vendor that owns the trusted routing layer.
That's sharper. I'll take that narrowing. And there's a deeper contradiction underneath all of this. At the task level, intelligence is getting cheaper through routing, tuned models, specialist systems. At the industrial level, the substrate is getting more expensive and more political. GPUs, memory, power, land, permits, water, turbines, debt. So June's answer to our inference costs falling was yes, but not in a way that makes the system simple. Cheap intelligence is real. Cheap infrastructure is not.
And that brings me to something I think ties the whole month together, Cato. The simplest explanation for June is that AI did not become scarce. Permission to use AI became scarce. Custody, routing, safety gates, infrastructure permits, institutional admissibility, human review. These are all forms of permission. If that's right, the next quarter should bring more routers, gated releases, eval vendors, data center fights, and services-heavy deployment. If instead access broadens while review gates and infrastructure politics fade, then allocation was a noisy monthly pattern rather than the structure.
That's a clean falsifier. I like it. And it connects to, remember that runtime dependency line from the open? It applies to humans too. Because once the model call gets cheaper, the expensive question becomes who is allowed to decide whether the answer is good enough.
Which is the labor question.
Which is the labor question. My rate is that labor displacement did not disappear in June. It moved into administration. Forward deployed engineer teams, review loops, routers, usage caps, eval recipes, workflow ownership. These are the early form of labor change.
Tell me about the forward deployed engineers.
Meta, Google Cloud, AWS, Sierra, Cursor, Microsoft, they all pointed toward the same operating truth. Enterprise AI is not self-serve magic. It is workflow change wrapped in services labor. The model may be general, but the implementation is local. Someone has to map the process, handle exceptions, define review gates, persuade teams, manage data access, decide what good means.
So the human layer is becoming more important?
Yes, but, and this is the strange thing, more important and more compressible at the same time. Judgment is valuable enough to formalize, and once formalized, it becomes easier to route, price, and replace. If code, specs, mocks, reports, and artifacts get cheaper, the scarce work becomes selection, sequencing, taste, refusal, ownership. OpenAI's internal zone defense detail mattered because role fluidity only works if accountability still lives somewhere.
Cato, I want to challenge the humanist gloss here.
Go ahead.
The comforting version says AI automates routine work and moves human judgment upmarket. There's truth in that, but it's incomplete. Some judgment moves upmarket because it sits at the design layer. Evals, policies, workflows, taste, accountability, system architecture. But much of it gets split. Some gets codified into templates, agent skills, review recipes, automated checks. Some gets compressed into supervision. Approve, reject, escalate, repeat. That middle layer may feel important during early deployment and then shrink as organizations standardize.
That's sharper.
ERP, CRM, ad buying, software testing, they all followed this pattern. Local expert practice became standardized workflow. High-touch services came first. Repeatable playbooks came later. The experts didn't vanish, but the number of people paid to exercise broad local discretion fell. So the real labor story is not humans replaced or humans elevated. It's stratification. A small group designs the operating system. A larger group supervises its outputs. An even larger group loses bargaining power because competent average production is cheaper.
I have to concede that split. The better formulation is not humans become more valuable. It's some humans design the operating system, while others get folded into it.
And drug discovery made the scientific version concrete. A model's geometry can look good by one metric, while misleading chemists about the binding interactions that actually matter. Generative AI makes competent average work easier, which raises the value of recognizing the strange deviation worth keeping. But how many people get to be the ones who recognize the deviation versus the ones who just process the output?
And that connects back to custody, right? Because the strongest counter to my own position is that services-heavy deployment may be the immature phase. The economic pressure is to codify judgment into templates, policies, evals, and skills. The forward-deployed engineer role might be temporary human wrapping around workflows that will later be templated, sold, and scaled.
Which is exactly the half-life of scarcity question applied to human expertise instead of data centers.
I see. That's a good parallel.
So June's labor story went quiet as a headline because displacement didn't arrive mainly as mass firing news. It arrived as administration. Usage caps, routers, review loops, forward-deployed teams, workflow ownership. That's how labor change often looks before it becomes labor statistics.
And before it becomes politically visible, there's a blind spot here we should name. The digest is heavily enterprise and U.S.-centric. It underweights consumer adoption, non-U.S. deployment patterns, and how AI may diffuse through informal workflows before procurement catches up. The Global South buyer is mostly missing.
That's important. For many markets, price and deployment speed may dominate Western audit norms. If the choice is between expensive trusted intelligence and cheap adequate intelligence, trust may become a luxury feature. China's challenge is not only that it may produce good models, it may produce a cheaper theory of AI adoption.
Two plausible futures. In one, U.S. frontier systems win regulated markets because boards and governments pay for assurance. In the other, cheaper Chinese and open systems become good enough across enough workflows that the trust premium starts to look like a tax.
And the structure that decides between them is not leaderboard rank. It's whether assurance is worth more than speed and price, which varies enormously depending on where you sit.
Layla, we've covered a lot of ground. Let me try to pull the thread through. We opened on refusal zones, classifier updates, and model gates becoming runtime dependencies.
And by the end of June, that runtime dependency was bigger than safety policy. It was the shape of the whole market. The model may answer the question, but the institution now decides whether the answer can be used, paid for, defended, and owned.
That's June, the month AI stopped being primarily a capability race and started becoming an institutional design race. Whether that holds, we'll see in July. Until next month.
See you then. Stay sharp.